Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, a Democrat from Connecticut's 5th District. It's such a beautiful district. Anybody who travels through it says, boy, this is a magic place. It's like landing in the Wizard of Oz.
You're absolutely right. I'm lucky enough to represent one of the most beautiful districts in the country, and with probably about the most engaged electorate, people who are extremely informed about issues, very passionate about democracy. So it is actually, it's an incredible pleasure to represent Northwest Connecticut.
Right. Okay. So I know that a lot of people from Northwest Connecticut take the MTA into New York City, you know, got to work, and not everybody works in the district. And I know you have a particular concern about the MTA.
Absolutely. Not only am I a writer of it, I was on it on Sunday, as a matter of fact, this over the weekend, had gone down to New York and come back Sunday morning. And it is a lifeline. It's a lifeline for the entire East Coast of the United States, but quite essential for Northwest Connecticut. And so we, and in my perch on the Railroad Subcommittee of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, since last fall, I've been calling for hearings on the passenger rail safety bill. And that was even before we started having the really frightening number of accidents that we've had, including loss of life. So it is absolutely essential that we move forward now. We've begun to have those hearings in the House. They've been having hearings in the Senate as well. And we just, about a week ago, got back the Federal Railroad Administration's so-called Operation Deep Dive report. And that report was a really searing condemnation of the MTA safety culture, and that is completely unacceptable.
What's in the bill?
Well, the bill it covers is a general bill that is a multi-year bill that it has nothing specifically to do with this, but it does to the extent that we need to increase oversight. We need to ensure that proper training is going on. That came out of the report, that there's lack of training and lack of experience that we're seeing in the MTA. This problem is going to get worse with the aging of our workforce. Got a lot of new employees, and it's one of the reasons that I've been so strongly supporting workforce development and training efforts in Connecticut and around the country, because we are losing technical skills. We need our young people trained, and that includes the sort of skills that the MTA needs for a modern, more technologically sophisticated railroad system.
You're absolutely right. The report was condemnatory, was searing. Can you remind our listeners about some of the things that they said?
Well, one of the elements they highlighted is that there was a lack of training. For example, the track inspectors don't even have the experience in conducting inspections or the tools that are required. I want to give a little shout out to my colleague Sean Patrick Maloney of New York, who serves on the other side on your side of the line in New York. We're both on this committee and calling strongly for improvements to safety. What became apparent from Operation Deep Dive report is that the MTA had begun to put a premium on-time performance over safety. That is obviously totally unacceptable. We should be able to have safe and reliable and timely trains. There's no reason we should have to make a choice between those two. But truth be told, it's what I said, 10 days ago when this report came out, and I will say again now, is that Congress bears some responsibility for this. We have had systematic underinvestment in infrastructure in this country for decades now. Mm-hmm. And some of what we're seeing with the MTA, in addition to a culture there that is dangerously lacking in an emphasis on safety, but underneath that all is a rail system that shows the wear and tear of systematic federal underinvestment. And that's something that I'm going to keep beating the drum on that. That is a national responsibility to ensure that all passengers, whether they're on rail or in cars or on airplanes, can travel safely around this country.
Does the Malaysian experience tell you anything about what we ought to be doing, as you mentioned just now, about airplanes?
Well, I think it does. Something that I've been learning about as a member of the Aviation Subcommittee is, and I learned about last year, is something called NextGen. And NextGen is the next generation of GPS location systems, both in our FAA towers as well as in our airplanes. And And as it's been made quite clear by what happened with Malaysia Air, we are still overall relying on radar, which is fairly inaccurate. If you compare the power that is in your phone, if you're walking through, say, any major city in America, or in fact, any small town, and you have an app locating the nearest coffee shop, it can tell you where you are and how many blocks you are away. So if you think that we don't have that and realize we don't really have that capability mandated in all of our planes, that's in part how we end up with the situation and the uncertainty we have right now. So I'm working hard to see what we can do now. In fact, I was talking with the chairman of the Transportation Committee, Bill Schuster, as we finished votes. I stopped him and I said, I think now is a good time for us to bring up NextGen and see if we can't get more political will to get this critically important program moving forward, get this equipment in all our planes. It will save fuel. It will save, help save the planet because we'll be burning less fuel. It will save money for everyone riding in airplanes, and it will actually reduce sound for all of our airports and allow more jets to come in and out without expanding our runways. It is a triple win, and it would also help in the very serious and shocking situation we're dealing with Malaysia Air, a lost airplane.
Is there a difference between a Republican approach and a Democratic approach to this?
Well, I think the issue has broken down, as many of these have in recent years, over what is the role of the government? And can we expect the private sector alone to fund projects like this? And I think the answer is no, we can't expect the private sector alone to just do the right thing when you're looking at massive infrastructure investments. And that would include the cost of implementing NextGen. So we need to redouble our efforts to do some sort of public-private partnership to provide the financing. But we need clear rules. We need clear and smart rules and a certain deadline that will provide the appropriate incentives to the private sector to make this critical investment and for the industry to move forward rapidly.
You know, Elizabeth Esty, I am fascinated by your discussion of infrastructure because I'm convinced, as I think you are, that this country has been riding along and sooner or later things are going to begin to happen. We saw these buildings falling down in New York City, in Harlem, which had been using gas pumped in pipes that should have been replaced years ago, which we know have been lying there for 70 years, 60 or 70 years, and we don't use those kinds of pipes anymore. So it really is a call for a sort of infrastructure Marshall Plan, isn't it?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. We should not be waiting until the bridge falls down or the train literally runs off the tracks for us to make these investments. I had my own personal experience a month or two ago with brass pipes in my house built in 1929 that cracked a tiny hairline crack and brought down part of a ceiling. I mean, it was something I tried to fix 20 years ago when I bought the house, but couldn't get to this part without opening the ceiling. Well, now I open the ceiling because it came falling down into my TV room. But we as a country have got to make these investments, and it should not take a bridge falling down, a train off the rails, or a crashed airplane to do so.
One last thing about the trains, and we only have a minute, but how do we deal with, you know, an engineer who falls asleep or is using a cell phone?
Well, there are technological advancements that we can use. Positive train control is something that is out there that will help step in and ensure, for example, if trains are going too fast, if you look at the deadly accident in New York where 4 people died, positive train control would help with that. Again, there are issues there about financing that in all of the trains. That is something that can help. Work rules about how many engineers we have there. So it's a combination of both technology and humans. You know, you need to have people well-trained. And you have to have a safety culture. And on top of that, we should be using the best technology to ensure safety, speed, on-time performance. Those should not be either-or choices.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat of Connecticut's beautiful 5th District in Northwest Connecticut. Thanks for being with us. When we come back again, I want to go to the Ukraine, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Alan.